Our scripture reading for this morning is going to come from the book of Exodus. We'll be again reading from chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 7. It's found on page 65 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That's the third commandment of the Ten Commandments that the Lord gives to Moses on Mount Sinai. The first two commandments had to do with God's self. You shall not have any other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself any graven images. Those are the first two commandments. But the third commandment is also about God, only it is about God's name. Don't mess around with God's name. That's what the third commandment is about. In the ancient world, names were terribly important, much more important than they are today. To know someone's name in the ancient world was to be able to define them. It was to be able to know something about them, something about their nature, their character, and their essence. That's why at the burning bush, when God commissions Moses to go into Egypt to liberate the Israelites, one of the first things that Moses wants to know from the Lord is the Lord's name. Lord, if I go to the Israelites and command them, they're going to want to know who you are. They're going to want to know your name. In other words, they're going to want to know something about you, something about your nature, your character, your essence. What kind of God you are? What is your name? Are you the thunder God? Are you the mountain God? Are you the war God? Are you a fertility God? What kind of God are you? God responds by giving Moses his name. God says, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. In other words, I am the God who exists in sovereign freedom. I am far above the categories, your categories of definition. You cannot easily confine me. You cannot easily define me. You cannot easily control me. I am a God that is above all that you are able to comprehend. I am a holy God. The only way that you will get to know me is as I reveal myself to you in the course of our relationship. So go back and tell the people that. Go back and tell them that is my name. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. But that was way back in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. Now the Lord has liberated the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. He has brought them to Mount Sinai, and he is about to make a covenant with them. He is about to make them his people and give them his name. In the same way that a man gives a woman his name in the act of marriage, we already know that God is a jealous God. God is a God who will have no other gods before him. But now God tells them, do not misuse my name. The Hebrew literally says, do not lift up the name of the Lord your God in an empty way, a way that empties it of the honor and the glory that is due to it. Today, of course, you and I are the people who carry the name of God. At our baptisms, we were baptized in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We carry the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ out into the world. And so we too are called to hear this third commandment. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Do not dishonor it. Do not make it empty. One of the difficulties in talking and teaching and preaching about the Ten Commandments is that it's a list telling us what we should not do. And usually that doesn't sit very well with us. We usually don't like to be told what we should or should not do. But whether we like it or not, God is a jealous God, and God takes God's name seriously. And so God tells us that he will not acquit those who misuse and dishonor his holy name. So here is a brief list of things that we shouldn't do with the name of God. First of all, we misuse God's name whenever we use it to curse someone. We should never associate the name of God in any way with cursing and profane language. You all know the kind of language that I'm talking about. We all know people who use it. Maybe we've used it a time or two ourselves. I used to have a roommate in the Army. Dave was his name. And Dave was quite proficient in using profanity, which wasn't unusual in the Army. Lots of people use profanity in the Army. In fact, if you wanted to get someone's attention, you often peppered your language with profanity. But Dave was a Christian. And as God's people, we who bear the name of God, we are called to bear that name with honor in everything that we do, including our language and our speech. We should not use the name of God in association with profane language and speech, and indeed we should not use profane language at all. But we are called not to use the name of God to curse anyone. But cursing is more than using bad language. Unfortunately, we have a long history of using the name of God to curse and condemn others. Sometimes in the name of God, we have cursed and condemned people who are different than us. We've used the name of God to curse those who believe differently than we do. We have used the name of God to curse people who look different than we do. We have used God's name for all of that. And we are called never to do that. Never to use God's name in association with cursing and condemning. Sometimes in God's name we have to speak the truth in love. And indeed, if we love people, we will speak the truth to them. But there's a big difference between speaking the truth in love in God's name and using God's name to curse and condemn. God has given us God's name for blessing and for praising and for glorifying, for building up, not for cursing and condemning and for tearing down. That comes from someplace else, not from God.
God says, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And that means that we should never, never use God's name to curse anyone. God never curses anyone. And he doesn't want us to curse anyone either. In fact, God gives us his name to reach down and to embrace and to love each other and to bring God's love to a hurting world. Secondly, we misuse the name of the Lord when we fail to walk in his ways. To have someone's name is to identify our allegiance. Several years ago, when I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, we were constantly reminded that we carried the name of the United States Army, that we belonged to the United States Army, and because we carried that name, we were to conduct ourselves at all times in a manner that gave honor both to our country and to the institution of the Army. And the same is true with our identity as God's people. Because we have God's name, it means that we are to conduct ourselves in a certain way, a way that gives honor and glory to God. One of the worst things that we can do is to walk in a way that does not give honor and glory to God. We've all seen people who have done that. We've all seen Christians who have done that. People who do things that do not reflect God's glory. And when they do that, they misuse the name of the Lord. A third way that we misuse the name of the Lord is when we use it insincerely. When we don't take it seriously enough and allow ourselves to be genuinely changed by it. The context in which we most often lift up the name of the Lord is during worship. It is during worship that we call on the name of the Lord. It is during worship that we pray that God's name will be hallowed among us. It is during worship that we pray that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It is in worship that we make our confession and that we pray for God's forgiveness. We ask for all of these things in the name of the Lord. And what we are asking for when we pray these things is for transformation. The transformation of our lives, the transformation of the world, the transformation of all that we come into contact with. And if we're not serious about these things, then we ought not to do them. We ought not to pray them because we're playing with fire. We're playing with the name of God. And the Lord says, do not misuse my name. Do not misuse the name of the Lord, not even during worship. The ancient Israelites often lifted up the name of God during the worship, but the way they conducted their lives outside of worship proved that they were insincere. And so the Lord often said through the prophets how much he hated their worship. I hate your festivals and your solemn assemblies. I hate your songs and your hymns. I hate your offerings. I hate it whenever you lift up my name and you are not sincere. I require sincerity in all things. I require sincerity not only in your worship, but I require sincerity in the way that you live your lives. This is what I require, that you walk justly, that you walk humbly with God, that you do the will of God. That's what the Lord says through the prophets. And so the Lord requires that we take his name seriously, that we come here in this place and we pray the prayers that we pray and we say the things that we say, not simply because we are repeating them rotely, but because we mean them in our hearts, because we have given our lives and our hearts over to God to be transformed so that we can be transforming agents in the world. And so the Lord says, do not misuse my name. Do not misuse my name in worship, but take my name seriously. A final way, of course, that God's name is often misused is when it is misused in a way in which we use God's name as a means instead of an end. God's name must never be used as a means instead of an end. Unfortunately, we are often tempted to use God's name as a means for our own happiness, a means for our own success, a means for our own prosperity. Sometimes we come to church and we attempt to shape God to our will rather than to be shaped by God's will. And we use God's name as a means for our own agendas. But God reminds us that we are not to misuse his name, and we're not to make God's name empty by trying to fill it with our own agendas. Never, never use God as a means. God is always an end. There are all kinds of ways, of course, that we misuse the name of the Lord. Sometimes we misuse God's name because we seek to use it in order to glorify ourselves or enrich ourselves or to endear ourselves to others. When I was in the 10th grade, I got word from a classmate of mine that Madeline O'Hare was going to be in town. You youngsters might not know Madeline O'Hare. She was a noted atheist who was responsible for the Supreme Court decision that banned compulsory scripture reading in public schools. She was declared by Look magazine as the most hated woman in America. But in my neck of the woods, she was considered to be nothing less than the spawn of the devil himself. But she was coming to Springfield, and she was going to be accompanied by a Baptist preacher from Texas who would be engaging her in a debate. And so word got out to the faithful to come and support him as he debated this noted atheist that was considered to be the spawn of the devil himself. And so I decided to go to be a part of that. And I went there to the convention center that night, and it was filled with all kinds of faithful believers. Indeed, it seemed to be more of a church service than anything else. People were fellowshipping and hymn singing and having a good time in the Lord. And then Madeline and the preacher came out. And the preacher addressed the convention center, and he told us that we ought to be on our best behavior, that we needed to show Christian charity, that we were going to hear some things that were going to offend our sensibilities, but that we should try to restrain ourselves. And so we did, and the debate started between him and this noted atheist. And Madeline was at her most irreverent and blasphemous self. Her every remark seemed basically calculated to draw a response from the crowd. And by the end of the evening, we were on fire, we were angry. And the preacher came out again, and he calmed us down, and he told us that the best way to address this situation was to support him as he went around the nation debating this noted atheist. And then miraculously, buckets appeared for an offering, and people were putting offering in their money in the offering buckets, and I reached deep down in my 15-year-old pockets to place my $2 in the collection plate and was satisfied that I did my job in arresting this evil that had visited Springfield, Missouri. And I would have thought nothing of it until 2 weeks later I was watching television, the Oldfield Donahue show, and who just so happened to be on Field's show that day was Madeline O'Hare and her Texas consort preacher. And the program was verbatim what happened there that night in Springfield. The debate was verbatim. The conversation was verbatim. It was all rehearsed. And it was at that time that I realized that I had been had, that this preacher and Madeline were in concert with one another, that it was all a scam to enrich themselves at the expense of the faithful. I'd felt betrayed, not by Madeline O'Hare, who after all was an atheist, but by this Texas preacher who I thought was on my side. But he wasn't. He was on the side of greed and the side of Madeline O'Hare, a man who had misused the name of the Lord for his own gain. Unfortunately, we know lots of people who misuse the name of the Lord for their own gain. People who misuse the name of the Lord in order to enrich themselves, or people who use the name of the Lord in order to secure votes, or people who use the name of the Lord in order to become popular. But the Lord says, "You shall not lift up my name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not make it empty." The bad news is that God cares about God's name. And because God cares about his name, he will not hold guiltless those who misuse it. There are consequences of using God's name wrongly. To use God's name in a wrong way is a dangerous thing. God will not acquit us when we do that. But the good news is that God cares about God's name. And because God cares about his name, he cares about all of us who are called by his name. In the Old Testament, God often says that even though his people, the Israelites, have profaned his name, he will act on their behalf. He will act for the sake of his holy name, because his name is holy. He will vindicate his name so that the whole world can see that he is indeed a holy God, that he is the God who goes with his people, that he will rescue them and save them, not for their sake, but for the sake of his holy name. Throughout the Bible, God continued to reveal his name to his people. God continues to tell us his name. "I am," he says, "God the provider. I am God the Most High. I am God Almighty. I am God who is present with you. I am the God who will be with you in the midst of trouble. I am the God who walks with you even when you think you are alone. I am the God who saves." That last name is the meaning of the name of Jesus. That's the name that we are called to carry and to lift up. We are reminded this morning not to make that name empty, but to honor it and to glorify it, because it is the name that is higher than any other name. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Do not make it empty. Do not curse by it. Do not fail to take it seriously. Do not misuse it in a way that does not do it honor, but take God's name upon you. Take that name and proclaim God's love and goodness, not just for us, but indeed for the whole world. That is what this commandment is reminding us. That is what we are called to do to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us your name, your glorious name. You have given us your name to honor you and to glorify you. You have given us your name to reach out to those around us and proclaim the good news. You have given us your name to heal and to comfort. Help us not to misuse your name, but help us to be shaped by it as we seek to be the people that you have called us to be. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.